الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has sent Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam to teach mankind how to live their lives. How they can make their lives valuable. How they can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how they can also live a peaceful life in this world and also in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only sent Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam with instructions, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam were examples for the people of their times. Their lives were exemplary. And their teachings that was being revealed to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were such that it would support those people who genuinely desired to follow the wishes of the Creator. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the final messenger. He is the final Nabi. He is the final Rasul. There is no Nabi to come after him. There is no Rasul to come after him with a new Sharia, with a new Deen. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved this Deen, preserved this Sharia until today, and he will do so until the day of Qiyamah. No change will come in the Quran, no change will come in the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If any change does come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always keep a group of ulama who will spot that change immediately and who will let the ummah know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very kind to his servants. That he does not only command, he, after commanding them, he does not only give instructions after giving them instructions. He also supports them. He supports them through tawfiq, divinely inspired will to do something. He supports them by giving them the abilities to carry out good things and to abstain from evil. And he has preserved the Quran, he has preserved the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his exemplary life, so people are able to benefit from them also. The Quran does not only give instruction, do this, don't do this. It motivates a person to do this and do that. The ahadith and the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do not only instruct us, do this, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. The ahadith and the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam motivates us. And thereafter the lives of the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, they are also exemplary. And then the lives of the tabi'in, the lives of the taba tabi'in, and then the lives of the pious personalities of the ummah. The muhaddisin, the mufassirin, the fuqaha, and the awliya. They are all exemplary. Exemplary in their own times. Their lives and their words motivated thousands of people. Thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people to tread the straight path. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so that just like the life, exemplary life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the exemplary lives of the sahaba, the tabi'in, the taba tabi'in, and the awliya, the fuqaha, the muhaddisin, the mufassirin, they were also preserved to a certain extent. And they continue to motivate us till today. And inshallah, these lives that have been preserved, the lives of the pious which were preserved by the pious, will continue to make people pious until the day of Qiyamah. When we read their stories, which have reached us through authentic sources, or when we mention their stories, or when we hear their stories, these stories motivate us to do those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certain stories are related to salat, certain stories are related to zakah, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain stories are related to sawm, fasting, certain stories are related to the recitation of the Quran, the understanding of the Quran, the implementation of the Quran, certain stories are related to dhikrullah, tawbah, istighfar. Similarly, there are stories related to ikhlas and sincerity, which motivate us. Which invites us to reflect on their lives and reflect on our lives. Which invites us to think in a particular manner, that if they who were humans like us, were able to do that, why is it that we cannot do it? If they could do it, then we could do it. We can do it. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala has said, in the dhikri salihina tanzilur rahmatu. When the mention of the pious is made, rahmat descends from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rahmat descends on the people who are in that gathering, who are listening to the mention of the pious. Why does rahmat descend? Rahmat descends because when we talk about the pious, when we relate their stories or when we mention their statements, it will be completely in accordance with Sharia. So when we mention their stories or when we relate their statements, we are talking about Sharia. We are talking about Deen. We are basically talking about the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Sunnah. It is for this reason rahmah descends. And majority of that rahmah descends upon our hearts, which motivates us to go in the right direction. Last week, whilst mentioning the dangers of riya and the importance of ikhlas and sincerity, I mentioned that Dawud ibn Abi Hind rahimahullahu ta'ala, he fasted for 40 years without anyone knowing. A person fasts for 40 years. Fasting in the month of Ramadan and also outside Ramadan. Continuously. It may have been Sawm-e Dawood, which is the most beloved fasting method to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahabbu siyami ilallahi siyamu Dawood. The most beloved fasting in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the method of fasting of Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. Kana yasumu yawman wa yuftiru yawman. He would fast one day and leave one day. Fast one day, leave one day. There are individuals who do this today as well, who are able to, who have the ability, without any weakness coming in, either the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or their own rights. They fast the whole month of Ramadan. And thereafter, other than the 5 days wherein it is not permissible to fast, they fast regularly and they fast one day, leave one day, fast one day, leave one day. So Dawud ibn Abi Hind rahimahullahu ta'ala fasted for 40 years without anyone knowing. Now just think for a moment, in order to keep these deeds concealed so that riya does not enter the heart and these deeds are not wasted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much he must have had to toil. Please join me for lunch. Please have a cup of tea with me. Somebody is snacking and he says, please join me. These people were intelligent, my friends. Their only objective in life was the hereafter. And they would safeguard themselves from spoiling their deeds. And also they would safeguard themselves and their deeds from any danger that was to come its way. Dawood ibn Abi Hind rahimahullah ta'ala was a very pious personality. It is possible that even if people found out, no change would have come to his heart. But despite that, I do not want to take any risk. Abul Ali rahimahullah ta'ala, he learned how to write and read. But he says that nobody found out. Nobody from his household found out that daily I am spending some time with a teacher and I am learning how to read and I am learning how to write. Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah ta'ala, another pious personality. These are the great people of the ummah after the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah ta'ala, he would wake up daily for tahajjud salat. And their tahajjud was not like ours. That we perform 4 rakats, 8 rakats in 5 minutes, 10 minutes and 3 minutes dua. No. They used to perform long rakats. And thereafter engage in long dua. And in those days when movement of one house was heard in the house next door. So if a person was to wake up in the morning, then the neighbors would know. And if a person was to wake up daily at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, then people would get to know that somebody in this house wakes up every day at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock. And then in those days, in order to go for istinja, you have to leave the home. To perform wuzu secretly was not possible in those days. Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah ta'ala would wake up every morning for tahajjud salat. And he would do everything so silently that he would not let anybody know. Anybody outside his house. And just before the Fajr Salah, half an hour before Fajr Salah, he would start making noise in such a way that people would feel that he has just woken up. When a person wakes up, he yawns. Sometimes he coughs. Sometimes loudly he says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. And then he would make preparation for wuzu, which people can hear next door. So he would not do any of this at the time of tahajjud. He would do all this at the time of fajr. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla, rahimahullah ta'ala, again another pious personality. He would engage in nafla salat during the day. He would engage in nafla salat, optional salat. And if somebody knocked at his door, then he would complete the 2 rakat that he was performing. And thereafter he would instruct his khadim to open the, he would complete the 2 rakat. He would lie down in his bed. And then he would instruct his khadim to open the door. Because he did not want anybody to know that he was performing nafla salat. There was danger that my ikhlas may go away. I may ruin my ibadat. Ibrahim An-Nakhai rahimahullah ta'ala, another great personality. He would be reciting the Quran, and if anybody knocked at his door, then before opening the door, He would cover the Quran with a sheet. He would cover the papers of the Quran with a sheet and put it aside. So people would not know, the comers would not know that he is performing, he was reciting the Quran. Abu Usman Khiri, rahimahullah ta'ala, a very pious personality, Sheikh of his time. Many ulama from amongst his followers. Very high status in spirituality. And very learned as well. From amongst his disciples was Allama ibn Nujayd rahimahullah ta'ala. Allama ibn Nujayd rahimahullah ta'ala was a muhaddith also. And after the demise of Abu Usman Khiri rahimahullah ta'ala, he became one of the great shuyukh of the time. Again, who had a large following of the ulama. Look at the concern of these personalities. Allama ibn Nujayd rahimahullah ta'ala. Look at the concern for sincerity, ikhlas. When we carry out a good deed, we cannot digest it. If the thought comes to our mind that I have done something exceptionally good today, we will not be able to digest it. We will want to throw it out. We will want to tell other people. We will find excuses to tell other people. We may be able to digest it until afternoon or until the afternoon, until the evening, maybe for 2-3 days, maybe for 1 month. Because we are Rijalud Dunya, we are the people of this world. We like fame, we like wealth. We like to fulfill our unlawful desires. We like worldly satisfactions. And these were the people of the Akhirah, Rijalul Akhirah. They would give any sacrifice for their Akhirah. Abu Usman Khiri rahimahullah ta'ala needed to support certain individuals who were in the khidmat of deen and who were suffering financially. So he made an appeal because he was the big sheikh. And he would look to the affairs of his juniors. So he made an appeal. That there are people engaged in the khidmat of deen and they are suffering financially. There is poverty in their lives. Can people please help me, support me? But he was not successful in his appeal. Maybe because people did not have money. All of them were suffering. And maybe his appeal did not reach those people who had the means to support him. So he went to his disciple, his student, Allama ibn Nujayd rahimahullah ta'ala. And he knew the condition of the people who were suffering. They were very important for deen. They were in the khidmat of deen. If they could not sustain themselves, then the khidmat of deen would suffer. So he had feeling for deen, he had feeling for the people who were serving deen. So when he came to his student, his disciple, his murid, Allama ibn Nujayd rahimahullah ta'ala, he burst out in tears, crying. And he put forward the whole scenario in front of him. So Allama ibn Nujayd rahimahullah ta'ala went inside his home and he came back with 2 bags full of dinar. 1 bag contained 1,000 dinar. dinar gold coins. And he gave 2000 dinar to Abu Usman Shiri Rahimahullah. Now Abu Usman Shiri Rahimahullah became extremely happy, delighted. And speaking in a gathering, he said to the gathering that I had made an appeal to help those brothers who are engaged in the khidmat of deen and who were unable to sustain themselves. And alhamdulillah, Ibn Nujayd rahimahullah ta'ala has taken this responsibility on behalf of all of you. And I feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a very close place in the hereafter. Allah will grant him a close proximity to Allama Ibn Nujayd in the hereafter. Ibn Nujayd rahimahullah ta'ala was also present in that gathering. So he quickly got up. And he said, Sheikh, that money does not belong to me. That money belongs to my mother. And assuming that my mother will be in agreement with what I am doing, I gave it to you, but when I spoke to her, she became unhappy. So it is not permissible for me to spend that money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is not mine, it is somebody else's. And if I don't return that money, it is haram. So how can I acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing something which is haram? So can you please return the money? Abu Usman Khiri rahimahullah ta'ala did not become unhappy. Because they all understood the system of Sharia. So he gladly returned the money. The people of the Akhirah, their objective is not taking the money, giving the money, saying yes, saying no, forgiving somebody, not forgiving somebody. That is not their objective. Loving somebody, hating somebody, that is not their objective is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If giving something to somebody brings the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will give. And if refusing brings the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will refuse. If joining ties bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will join ties. And if breaking ties pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will break ties. Man ahabba lillahi wa abghaza lillah. One who loves another only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loves another, loves a thing. Wa abghaza lillah. And one who dislikes something or someone for the pleasure of Allah. Wa'ata lillah, one who gives for the pleasure of Allah. Wa mana'a lillah, one who refuses for the pleasure of Allah. Faqad istakmal al-iman. This is a sign that his iman is complete. Because every movement of his is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Usman Khiri rahimahullah ta'ala was a great sheikh of his time. He had reached a very, very high spiritual level. So he had tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for me, for everybody. If not through Ibn Nujayd, through somebody else. So he returned the money happily, gladly. The gathering dispersed. Everybody left. Allama Ibn Nujayd rahimahullah ta'ala also returned home with the 2000 dinar. And thereafter he came again to meet Abu Usman Khiri rahimahullah ta'ala during the evening, during the night, when nobody was with Abu Usman Khiri rahimahullah ta'ala. And he said, Hazrat Sheikh, the 2000 dinars belong to me. That is my money. But I gave 2000 dinar in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my sincerity was in danger. I did not want anybody else to know. And as a result, I did what I did. Please accept it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. My friends, we listen to such stories and we are fascinated by such stories. But shaitan plants immediately, shaitan plants these thoughts in our minds that I wish I was able to do that, but I will never be able to do that. We can also do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all the ability to do that. All we need to do is to strive. Exert effort in polishing our hearts. And once our hearts are polished, and once our hearts become pure from the radail, from debasing qualities, and once our hearts are enlightened with the fadail, the good qualities of the heart, one of which is ikhlas, then inshallah, these modern times will also see the same stories. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. A great personality. Great personality. The personalities I have mentioned earlier are far away from our times and more nearer to the times of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The few personalities right at the beginning are very near to the times of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Usman Shayari rahimahullahu ta'ala in between. And Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alaihi is a personality of our time. He passed away in the 1970s, if I am not wrong. He was the Khalifa of Hakimul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And he was the son of Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Who had spent much time in the company of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Ganguhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And probably a Khalifa also. And Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi is the father of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani and Mufti Muhammad Rafi Usmani, Hafizahumullahu Ta'ala. And a great personality in the academic field also. He is the author of Ma'ariful Quran, the well-known tafsir in the Urdu language, which is translated into English also, which every person should try to read. Ma'ariful Quran. And he was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan after India was divided. And before, he was the head Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband. Now, being a head Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband in those times, when Hakimul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madini Rahmatullahi Alayhi are also alive. Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib and Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib. I have heard these incidents directly from them. And they are recorded in books also. But I have heard it directly from both of them. Both the sons. On different occasions. They say that once our father sat all us brothers together, and he said that there are two incidents in my life which I have not narrated to anybody. Only I and Allah know. Nobody knows. Only I and Allah know. But today, I am narrating these two incidents only for you, brothers. So that these incidents can motivate you to be simple in life, to think correctly and strive hard for the akhirat. Because I have love for my children, that's why I am telling you that these two stories may become a means of your success in the hereafter. And obviously these two stories remained a secret between the father and the sons until he passed away. He said, both stories are associated to Deoband when I used to live in Deoband before the partition. He said, one day I left early for the masjid in the morning and I heard somebody in difficulty. So I looked here and there and I found an old lady who had filled her utensils with water from the well nearby and she was trying to carry one or two utensils, but because she was an old lady, she found it very difficult. So she was huffing and puffing. She would walk a few steps, put it down, walk a few steps, put it down, groan. It was dark before Fajr Salat. So I got closer to her and I said, if you permit me, I will carry this for you. Who is this? Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who is at that time the Grand Mufti of Darul Deoband. Nowadays we assume statuses and we assume positions without any status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were people with positions, with statuses, both ilmi and amali, academic and practical, both. So he said that I carried the pots for her, or pot, maybe a large pot or two, three pots. Even today in many parts of India, you will find ladies filling pots, big jars made of clay, earthenware pots, round like bowl, and with a narrow opening at the top. And those who are expert, they will carry even three pots, one on top of the other. So one pot, two pots, three pots, only Allah knows. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi said that I carried the pots or the utensils or the jars full of water to the old lady's house and I placed them where she wanted me to place them. And I returned quickly because I did not want anybody to know that I have done this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that lady did not know me. So she didn't know that this is Mufti Shafi, the head Mufti of Darul Deoband. And probably teaching hadith at the same time also. Mufti Sahib says that when I returned, I heard her praying for me. She was making dua for me that may Allah grant him this and may Allah grant you this and may Allah grant you this. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that those supplications and those duas and those prayers echoed in my ears throughout the day, and I thought to myself that I have found a markaz of dua. I have found a center of dua. This is a very easy way of acquiring sincere supplications on a daily basis. So he said, from that day, daily I would come out early in the morning and I would help that lady. And he says that this continued until the partition. The only day I did not serve her is when I was out of Deoband. And he said to the sons that this deed that I had performed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is known to nobody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the lady who does not know that I am Mufti Shafi. So it is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Muhammad Shafi has carried this out. Look at the level of ikhlas of Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. It is for this reason that even after 50 years we remember Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And whenever his name is mentioned, we find a special place for him in our hearts. Love, reverence. Love, reverence. And we feel within our hearts that I wish I was able to meet Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi and sit in his company. Seldom you will find a person who is associated to Deen and who has his roots to the Indian subcontinent and he is not aware of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. If he was sincere in this amal, he was sincere in all his amal. That is why his Ma'riful Quran is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that is accepted amongst the people is definitely accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why his Ma'riful Quran, only Allah knows how many people are benefiting from it. You will not find a single alim who is teaching tafsir in a darulum or who is imparting darse Quran in a masjid who will say that I have never referred to Ma'riful Quran. You will not find a single student who will say I have never referred to Ma'riful Quran. What an acceptance. Imam Shatibi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam Shatibi rahimahullahu ta'ala, great qari. Great qari. He was blind. Imam Shatibi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He has written a book on the science of qiraat. He was a very, very great qari. Imam Shatibi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And not only academic in the field of qiraat, he was a very pious personality also. He was Sahibul Karamat, a person with miracles. And he would start teaching early in the morning at the time of the Tahajjud, before Fajr Salah. And he was blind, he would come into the class and he would say, Man jaa awwalan falyaqra. That student should recite who came first. So that student would come forward and recite. And then he would say, Man jaa thaniyan falyaqra. That student who came second, he should come and recite. One day he came for his darshan, he said, Man jaa thaniyan falyaqra. That student should recite who has come second. And then he said, Man jaa thalisan falyaqra. And he did not pay attention to the first student at all. Now everybody is questioning themselves, questioning the practice of the sheikh, that why today he is not paying attention to the first student. Even the first student is worried. Later the first student realized that particular night he had a wet dream and he was impure. And sometimes a person does not realize that I am impure until he looks at the clothes later on. And whilst in the state of impurity, you cannot recite the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired him that this student is not pure to recite the Quran today. So he said, Man jaa thaniyan falyaqra. The second recite, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth. His turn never came that day. And I have heard from my elders that Allama Shatibi rahmatullahi alayhi has said that the book that I have written, another Qari will come after me who will also be blind, and he will write the best commentary of this book. And after many years, a Qari was born in the subcontinent. Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahmatullah Ali, who was also blind. And Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahmatullah Ali, he wrote the commentary of Shatibiyya. A very maqbool work of Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahmatullah Ali. And he was no less than miracle also. Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahmatullah Ali. And again, all these great names that we hear, especially I would like the students to pay attention to this point. All these great names that we hear, they had reached a very high level, not in academics only, but in amal also. They were all awliya, they were all pious personalities. Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahmatullah Alayhi in his old age would recite 10 juz in Taraweeh daily. And there are 10 types of qiraat. There are 10 types of different qiraats. The Quran can be recited in 10 different ways. So he would recite 10 juz daily in Taraweeh. He would perform his Taraweeh at home. 10 juz daily in Taraweeh. And he would complete one qiraat in 3 days, another qiraat in 3 days, another qiraat in 3 days, another qiraat in 3 days. He would complete the Quran 10 times in all 10 qiraats in Taraweeh during the month of Ramadan. My beloved Sheikh Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala once mentioned, which I have heard with my own ears, that Qari Sahib had come to Karachi and I went to meet him. No, not Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahmatullah Ali, his student, Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, whose ma'mool and whose practice was to recite 20 juz daily, despite teaching full time in the madrasa. Despite that, his ma'mool of recitation of the Quran daily was 20 juz. So you can imagine the status of Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahmatullah Ali. So Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said that I went to meet Qari Rahim Baksh Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And he had just performed wudu. He had just performed wudu. And I met him and he said, can I perform Tahiyyatul Wudu? Thereafter we will sit down and talk. So I said to him that, I said, Hazrat, if you will permit me, I will perform Salat behind you. I will become the Muqtadi, you become the Imam. So he said, fine. Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that in the first rakat, he recited 10 juz. Tahiyyatul Wuzu he is performing, and in the first rakat he performed 10 juz. Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati Rahmatullah Alayhi, as I said, he was a miracle also. Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Hafizahullah Ta'ala, I have heard him myself that he was ayatum min ayatillah. He was from the signs of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He was a sign from the signs of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He would be able to recite the Quran from the back. From the back. Minal jinnati wan nas. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. And he would recite the Quran from the back, just like Suratul Fatiha. He would recite the first word of each ayah, beginning from Alhamdu until the end, just like Suratul Fatiha. He would recite the last word of the ayah, of the verse, from beginning until the end, just like Suratul Fatiha. I have to think in order to explain to you. Al-Alameen, Ar-Rahim, Ad-Din, Nasta'een. So Allama Shatibi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his work. And according to the prophecy that he had made, this was his miracle again, a karamat. We believe in the miracles of the Anbiya and also the miracles of the Awliya. The miracles of the Anbiya are known as mu'jizat and the miracles of Awliya are known as karamat. We find in the books of Aqaid, karamatul awliya is haqqun. The karamat and the miracles of the awliya is haqq. So according to his prophecy, Qari Fateh Muhammad Panipati rahmatullahi alayhi wrote the commentary of his book. And it's widely accepted. It's taught by all the Qurra. Allama Shatibi rahmatullahi alayhi, after completing the book, said that my book will definitely become accepted. Because I know my intention was pure. I have written this book only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my book will not be wasted. Ikhlas, my friends. Ikhlas. Do things only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Check your intention before carrying out an amal. Check your intention after. And if we see any fault before the amal, let us try to rectify it. If we see any shortcoming after the amal, let us turn to Allah and say, oh Allah, purify my heart of this evil trait, riya, and grant me ikhlas. Oh Allah, grant me ikhlas. Little amal with ikhlas will bear fruits. Lots of fruits. And big amal without ikhlas will not only be fruitless, it will take us in the fire of Jahannam. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin the hisab. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala used to cry upon mentioning this hadith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will begin the hisab, will begin the reckoning with three categories. Ulama, shuhada, and generous people. Ulama, who toiled in towards acquiring ilm and thereafter who toiled in passing on ilm, teaching ilm. Shuhada, who gave their lives for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And generous people who spent for the causes that would bring them much reward in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call this category first. And he will question each and every one of them. I have given you ilm. What did you do with that ilm? So he will say, each person from that category will say, oh Allah, I acquired ilm with lots of effort. And thereafter, all I did throughout my life was to impart that ilm. After importing, my only work was imparting ilm day and night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that you did all that so that you could be praised. You could be called an alim, great alim. That was your objective only. Whatever you did was not for me. And your objective has been fulfilled. In the world, everybody said, Allama sahib, big maulana, big sheikh, great speaker, great teacher, great muhaddis. So your objective has been fulfilled. For you there is nothing. Nothing here. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the angels. And the angels will pull him away from the Maidan Mahshar and throw him in the fire of Jahannam. Shaheed, I gave you life. I gave you courage. I gave you strength. What did you do with it? Oh Allah, all my life I was striving in your path. And I continued until I sacrificed my life for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, your only objective was to be called a shaheed. And you have acquired that objective. That objective has been fulfilled. There is nothing for you here. And he will also be thrown in the fire of Jahannam by the malaika upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The spender in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be called. I gave you wealth. What did you do with it? I helped the poor, the destitute, the orphans, the widows, the needy. I assisted the madaris and the masajid. I helped in constructing the masajid and the madaris. And I did so many other things. You did that so that you could be called generous. Your objective has been fulfilled and you will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. Any amal, little or large, carried out only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become a means of our entry into Jannah, inshallah. And any amal that is carried out, whether little or large, poses danger that this amal may take us in the fire of Jahannam. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadvi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that the ship of ikhlas, he was giving an example. The ship of ikhlas, that means a ship that is full of ikhlas. When the ship is sailing, then that ship is successful only if it reaches the shore. If it drowns, it is unsuccessful. So, Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Najmi Rahmatullahi used to say that the ship of ikhlas will reach the shore even after drowning. The ship of ikhlas will reach the shores even after drowning. And the ship without ikhlas, the ship of riya, will drown even after reaching the shores. What is the meaning? The meaning is that if we carry out something for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, write a book for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe the people of our time did not accept it. Maybe 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 years passed and it was not accepted. Maybe we did not have the means to publish it. But that manuscript will be saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a time will come after 500 years, 600 years, as we have seen. When you go in the library, we have books which have been published first time after 500 years and 600 years. Because it was full of ikhlas, Allah preserves. And after preserving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it reach the shore. He will make it a success. He will make it a means of that person acquiring a lot of reward as a result of that work. And there are other works which become very famous initially. So they reach the shore, but after 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, nobody can even remember the book. Ikhlas. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. I will narrate the second incident and then conclude today. The second incident, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that the second incident, my sons, is, he was encouraging his sons that my sons, for the akhirah, you have to go out of your way to do things. This is the encouragement he was giving. For I was a mufti and I was a teacher at Darul Uloom Deoband, but for hereafter, daily I was filling the water for that lady because I felt that I will be rewarded for this good deed also and the duas that she is making for me. I will benefit immensely. And look at this second deed. He said that once I was traveling to Thana Bhavan to spend some time in the company of my Sheikh, Hazrat Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Ali. And he said during those days, the train station was approximately 1.5 to 2.5 kilometers from the Khanka of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Ali. So when you go to Thana Bhavan, then you have to walk for 1.5 to 2.5 kilometers. And Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that in that very train, I saw another gentleman who I knew and who knew me also because he was also a close murid of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. He was with his family. And he had taken permission from Hazrat Hakim Ulummat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi to come and spend some time with the family. So small children, wife, husband, and lot of luggage. And the train reached late at night. And it was a cold night. And obviously, dark because it was a very small station. So we got off the train and Hazrat says that I started walking away from the station to walk towards the Khanqa. And he said that I heard the gentleman say, porter, 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 porter. So he said, I stopped. Because of his continuous announcements, I stopped, assuming that there is no porter available. And he said, after a while, I sensed fear in his voice. Fear that, what will I do? With small children, wife, on my own, how will I carry this luggage? So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the shawl I had, I covered my face with the shawl. And he said, I came running. Yes, 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 I am porter, I am porter. These were such great people. People of our time. Now a Mufti, who teaches day and night, who is writing fatwa day and night. Imagine his fitness. Imagine his strength. And those people who have some connection with India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, they know that when the porter arrives, one suitcase, second suitcase, third suitcase, fourth suitcase. Hakim ul-Ummat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said that all the luggage was, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says that he put all the luggage on my head. And 1.5-2 kilometers during the night. And he said that I remained silent throughout the way because I did not want him to know that it is me. And we are walking in the darkness. And he had a torch. So I made them walk at the front so he would not recognize me. Finally we reached Thana Bhavan. I was exhausted, tired. And I put the luggage at the residence. The residence that was booked for them by Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, arranged for them by Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah. And as is the norm, they settle down first, the children are taken inside, and thereafter you deal with the porter. So Hakim Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, I did not want him to recognize me, and I had not done this for money either. So I put all the luggage outside the house, and I quietly went away from there. He said the following day in the majlis of Hakim ul Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, this person narrated the whole incident that this is what happened last night. And the porter left without taking the money. So what is the Sharia ruling? And he said, I was sitting there. But I did not even inform my sheikh. I did not inform anybody. I am informing you for the first time. Because I had done this only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. My friends, in order to acquire these virtues of the heart, humbleness, generosity, these are virtues of the heart. Humbleness, generosity, sincerity, love for Allah, love for His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sabr, patience, shukr, being grateful to Allah. The tongue cannot be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the heart being grateful. It is the heart that is grateful first, and as a result the tongue is grateful. In order to acquire these virtues of the heart, and in order to get rid of the debasing qualities and the evils of the heart, doing things to show people, pride, haughtiness, kibr, ujb, self-conceit, being impatient, being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation. One has to exert effort in tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. Purification of the soul. Purification of the soul. And once the soul is purified, then the heart is adorned and enlightened with all the good qualities. And when there are good qualities in the heart, then the amal will be good. And if there are bad qualities in the heart, the amal will be bad. إِذَا سَلُوهَتْ سَلُوهَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If the heart is good, all the amal will be good. If the heart is bad, all the amal will be bad. So through tazkiyah, the heart is purified. The heart is cleansed from the debasing qualities and it is adorned with good qualities. And once the good qualities, once the heart becomes the center of good qualities, then only good amal will come out of his body. He will only carry out good deeds. And when a person carries out good deeds only and abstains from bad deeds, then he is successful in the hereafter. It is for this reason the Quran says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى. Successful is he who has purified his soul. So let us exert effort and purify our souls. And let us try our utmost to conceal our amal as much as possible. Like I mentioned last week, there are certain amal which we have to carry out in front of the public. And there are other amal which we can conceal. And if we are carrying out a particular amal and we feel that I am being watched despite not wanting to, then we must not stop that amal, we must carry on. We must carry on and we must try to maintain ikhlas. We must try to maintain ikhlas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this great blessing, this priceless blessing, the blessing of ikhlas. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts and cleanse our hearts from debasing qualities such as riya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adorn our hearts, enlighten our hearts with the good qualities like ikhlas. And may Allah accept all our amal that we have carried out till to date. And if they were full of riya or mixture of both, may Allah forgive us and may Allah cleanse them and accept them. And in future, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us all from riya. And those of us who experience riya, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to excessively remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sit in good company, stay away from bad company, and exert efforts in abstaining from things that are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that as a result of these three things, mujahada, exerting effort in abstaining from lustful and sinful activities, excessive zikr, abstaining from wrong company, wrong environment, staying in good company, good environment. As a result of this, Allah will adorn our hearts with the noor of taqwa, with the noor of tawadu, with the noor of ikhlas, inshallah. And we will become successful in this world and also in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا. اللهم افتح اقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم افتح اقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم افتح اقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين. We must give serious consideration to this aspect of deen. And shaitan will always make us think it's not possible. It's good. It's one of the best things that I can acquire, ikhlas. But no, it's not possible. If we continue with this exercise, and the things I mentioned, abstain from every disobedience to Allah. Abstain. The heart is not in our control. So we remove ikhlas, we remove riya and bring ikhlas, it's not in our control. But abstaining from lustful glances is in our control. Abstaining from backbiting is in our control. Abstaining from swearing is in our control. Abstaining from consuming alcohol is in our control. Those people who carry out these, this is mujahada. Number one. Number two, excessive zikr. Number three, abstaining from wrong company, staying in good company. Those people who do this, then the heart will automatically change. Less zikr, bad company and bad amal, the heart will change towards the debasing qualities. Good amal, abstaining from sins, excessive zikr and good company, the heart will change towards the good qualities. So these are the things we need to hold fast. May Allah grant us all the things.